All right. Good. Psalm 20. Psalm 20 this morning. We finished up the week before the meeting with Psalm 19. I hope that Psalm 19 was a blessing to you. It certainly was to me. It went much longer than I thought it would, which most of them do. Had Brother Wall and his wife up Friday evening before the meeting. They were stayed over for a couple of days, and we offered to have them up for a meal and spend a little bit of time with them. It's a blessing to. It was really a blessing to be able to sit down. We've had them numerous times at our house, but it's always during the meeting. So I rush home from work and we scarf down a meal and say, "I'll see you at church." We were able to sit down after we ate and have a little bit of fellowship, and it was a blessing. But Brother Wall said to me, he says, "You still in Psalms?" I said, "Yeah, I just finished 19. He said, I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm slow. But we try to plow deep." So, you know, if you know anything about farming, when you're plowing deep, you don't plow very fast, do you, Tracy? So. But I don't try to drag things along. I try to give you what the Lord gives me. And this time passes so quickly. Basically, I got about 35 minutes to say what I need to say. And sometimes I'll get to rambling on like I am now and don't say what I should say. But the Lord's been good. He's helped me with it. And I hope it's a blessing to you all. We do, as was mentioned back in the room, and all of you know, pray for Pastor. I did text him this morning and let him know he was praying for him, prayed for him yesterday, and he said things went good yesterday, and asked to continue to pray for him today, pray for him, what he's doing, and preaching the message there for the church and the new pastor, and as all this, he put it to me in this context. He said, "Pray for them. It's a reset for them. The church has been through a lot. We only know just a little bit about what they've been through, what he left us know. But it sounds like they're on the upside now. So got a lot of things to go on there. So pray for them as well. Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God we will set up banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with. Sorry, my pages are stuck together here. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." As I studied and prepared for getting into Psalm 20, I cannot tell you how many times I read Psalm 20. Read it a multitude of times in the past, but in preparation, I read it and read it, and I do this. I try to read it multiple times, and I'd ask the Lord each time to show me something, and I can't tell you how many times I've read it before he actually showed me something. I did a lot of reading, some commentaries, listened to some messages, and it took me a while with this one, but hopefully we'll get something from it here that'll help us. It's another Psalm of David, of course, here, and it's a prayer for those who are going into the battle against the enemy. David's petition here is not only for help, but it also has much praise in it as well. Some have said that it's one of the most powerful prayers of David. It was a prayer that was prayed before they went to battle many times. You know, a lot of this, I think, from what I understand, would be they were written down and things would be repeated over and over again at times. And no doubt David, just like us, you know, you say, well, that's repetition. How many times you pray the same thing? We pray the same thing over and over. And David would pray the same thing over and over. The multitude of battles that David led the children of Israel in, the multitude of them, he was no doubt would fall back on this prayer many times, asking God for his help. As we look at these verses, we see what David was praying about us about this. And then we can also just, as I try to do many times, is apply it to our lives today. You and I aren't going to physical war. You know, this is a time of war. There's a lot going on in this world. It doesn't seem to really hit us close to home yet. But I've thought about this in recent days, weeks, and even in the recent years, things going on. And I think one reason why it hasn't really hit home with us is the fact that they haven't called for our boys yet. Now, Pastor knows, Pastor Cobus knows of time, and many of you know, you older ones know of a time where they called the draft. I remember at 18 signing up for the draft. There was never any call at that time. I don't know that there's been a call since. And so I think it hasn't hit home for us because they haven't called. But when you got teenage boys, which many of us do here, a host of them stand up here and sing many times. You think about it, if they start calling, then maybe we'd be praying more for our country and what we're going through. It's not the message this morning, but it was just a thought that went along with it, how that David would pray this prayer in a time of war. Pray for God's protection. He would pray that the Lord would hear him in verse 1. In the day of trouble, I'll get ahead of myself here, but I want to apply it to our lives today. I think, let's turn over here to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read some verses. We're not going to stay there. We'll be right back. Hold your finger there in Psalms. But Ephesians chapter 6, I thought about this as I was studying in comparison somewhat with Psalm 20 and what we can learn, how we can apply it to our lives today. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we could go on there reading about the armor of God and what to do and everything. But I thought about that verse 12 there, as David was wrestling with the enemy. You and I have a battle as well. Here, and Paul tells the Ephesians church here, that tells them that we wrestle not with flesh and blood against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a battle, folks. It may not be that physical battle. Yes, there is kind of a battle looming across the pond and other places as well that we need to be concerned about, we need to pray about. But at the same time, as we try to apply this to our lives, think about what we wrestle with each day, the battle that we face each day. And so back to Psalm 20, as I was trying to outline this and break it down a little bit, I just broke it down into two parts here, two main points. And the first one is, I wrote down the call for help in time of trouble. That's found in verses 1 through 4 and verse 9. And then the second point, main point, would be the confidence in the Lord in times of trouble. David here, no doubt, was in a time of trouble. He was in a time of war, and he needed God's help, and he was asking the Lord for help. So let's look at the call for help in times of trouble. We'll just kind of go down here verse by verse through this, get as far as we can get through this. We may get through it all, or we may not. I'm not sure. But let's look at this. Here in verse 1, we see the person of the call. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Who's the person in the call? The person is the Lord. David says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." He didn't ask for some other god, some other idol or something. He knew who to pray to, and we know who to pray to as well for help. The Lord will hear us in the day of trouble. He heard David, and he will hear us in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Turn over to, got a couple places to look here. Keep your finger there. We'll be back. Psalm 41, as we do many times, kind of walk through Psalms here to help with this. Psalm 41 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Psalm 60 and verse 11. "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I could write all these down, write them out in my notes, but I like to turn. I like to keep you guys turning. Helps us. Psalm 91 and verse 15. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." He says, "I will be with him in trouble," there in verse 11. The person in the call is the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will be with us in times of trouble. He will help us through. There's also in verse 1, there's a period for the call. Back in Psalm 20, he says, "I will hear thee in the day of trouble." That's the time word there. In the day of trouble, the Lord will be with us in the day of trouble. In Psalm 46 in verse 1, the Bible says, "God is a very present help in trouble." He will help us. Just as he helped David, he will help us as well. There's also here, we see in verse 2, we saw the person for the call, the period for the call. And we'll see here in verse 3, the place where help comes from in the call. And that is found here in, in verse 2. "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Where did David look for his help? Obviously, he called on the Lord, but it says here, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Now, if we're going to get any help in time of trouble, we need to be in the house of God. this was the house of God for David, the sanctuary here, amen, as he speaks of, and the sanctuary, and he speaks of Zion, Mount Zion, and talk about help coming from Zion. There was places, holy places, that David looked to in time of trouble. When time of trouble, folks, when it comes our way, and it will come our way. If it hasn't come your way, it will come your way. But in those times of trouble, don't give up on being in the house of God. Don't throw up your hands and say, it's too much for me. I can't do it. Well, they'll understand I'm not there. You know, we had a week of meetings, and I'm not rebuking anyone. I don't know. I think most of you were here. But if you don't come, you don't get help.
That's right. Amen.
You know, it's set up now, and given that we can, as members, we can watch the service through a streaming, but that was not set up so that we could sit home. Now, I have been home. I have seen it. But with reason for being home, sickness, or we're tending to Mason or something like that, and it's a blessing that we can do that, but it's not like being here, folks. It's not like being here. And you need to be in the house of God when the doors are open. If you want help, you got to be here. This isn't the only place that help's going to come from. Yes, the Lord can hear our prayers, and he can hear our cries, and he does. But when the doors are open, we should be here. If we want some help, you know, that especially in a meeting like last week, that one night that we're not here might be the night that the Lord wanted to help us with something. We might have went through, I've sat through services, and I try to get something out of every service, but I've sat through services before and just thought, well, I don't know what the Lord had there, but, you know, it was kind of in and out, to be honest with you. But I've sat through services where, boom, that's what I need. Right there is what I need. Wow, what if I just stayed home tonight? What if I decided I couldn't be there? What if I decided it's time of trouble? I can't help it. I can't be there. You don't get the help you need. David got the help he needed, and he knew where the help come from. And he said, send thee help. He's talking to the Lord here. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Help and strength is what we need in a time of trouble. David needed it as well. I can testify to you of the times that for sickness reasons, it's usually not for sickness. I'm not usually a very sickly guy, but there's been multitude of times that dealing with issues with Mason that haven't been able to be here. And it hasn't been as easy as it is now to see the services. But I would tell you, back when things just began with him and all the things that we went through, I missed a lot of church. And I missed it for a good reason. And it was understood that I wasn't here. But boy, did it weaken me. It weakened me. Now, God gave me strength that I can't explain, because he knew I wasn't just laying out a church. It took us a while to get him to where we are now, in that getting him here and being able to care for him and do things like that. But the whole time, folks, I was saved. And I needed to be fed. And I wasn't getting the feed that I needed, the food that I needed, because I wasn't in the house of God. I wasn't getting strengthened. And it took a toil on me. It kind of took a toil on my family for a while. And it's hard. But you know what? God can strengthen us, just like he did David. He strengthened us through that time, and he continues to. He said, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. It's a place to get help from. He got the help out of the sanctuary and of Zion here as well. Turn over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 17. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph. It's known well here, and it's Asaph saying that he doesn't understand why the wicked prosper. Verse 3, 4. I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And he goes on and talks about not being troubled or anything. It doesn't seem like anything bothers him, but when he gets down here, further down in verse 17, he kind of comes to himself here. In verse 16, he says, when I thought to notice, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. And we could go on reading there, but we're not. But he said here, then I understood. When did he understand? He understood when he went to the sanctuary. David got his help, and he knew where the help was going to come from the sanctuary and out of Zion. He knew about being around God's people and being around God's house, that he would get the strength to help in time of trouble. In times of trouble, our best place to get help is the house of God. Then number three, under the call for help in times of trouble, is found here in verse 3, and that's the persuasion in the call. What's it say here? Psalm 20 and verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Now again, this is David praying to the Lord. So he's saying this to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, remember these things. Would you remember them? Remember that all the sacrifices and the offerings and the things that we've done. It's not wrong to remind the Lord of something. He doesn't forget. That was touched on this week. He doesn't forget, and he knows, but it's not sinful to remind him of something. Honestly, it kind of helps us. It reminds us as well. You know, when you remind somebody of something, you're bringing it up again and you know, something good, and it causes rejoicing for ourselves, something good. And David here, he persuades in his persuasion to the Lord. He says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Think about that. Take that to heart. Think about it and meditate on it. He says here that he wants the Lord to remember those things. And sacrifices and offerings show one's loyalty. You know, I spoke earlier of the Sunday school offering and giving towards the meeting each year. And it's an offering. And, you know, it may be a sacrifice for us to give. You know, it's money out of the budget every week, every month, however you may do it. It's something that has to be accounted for. And so It costs something. It costs something to give. But the Lord, you know, I'm reminded of what's been said many times, you can't outgive God. Mm-hmm. And he will return the blessing in a multitude of ways. And it may not be down here in Woodsboro Bank, but it may be just in another way that God will just bless you in other ways. But David's saying here, asking the Lord to remember what he's done, to remember how that God has delivered him in the past, and remember what he's offered and the sacrifices that he's made. Not only did we see this persuasion, but then in verse 4, there's a partnership in the call. It says, grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. The partnership here I see where it says, grant thee according to all thy heart and fulfill all thy counsel. You see, how do you see a partnership there? I see the partnership of David asking the Lord to do something for him. But in the last part of the verse, it says, fulfill all thy counsel. He's asking, I wrote this down somewhere here. He's asking, it's a call here for God's will to be done in his life. David wants what God wants. He's saying, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. David's saying, I'm asking for deliverance, but if it's your will, Lord. That's what he's saying, basically. If it's your will, Lord, let us be delivered. And, you know, there was times when David went into battle and basically got whipped. But there was problems. There was sin. There was different things that came up that caused that defeat, so to speak. But David's here. David's partnering with God, saying, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be mine. And that's what we need to do in times of trouble as well. Say, Lord, I don't understand this, but nevertheless, let your will be done. Because, folks, I don't care how long you've been in this battle. I've been in it for quite a while now. I still don't understand some things that God brings us to or God brings us through. I don't understand the purpose in them many times. But it's not mine to understand. It's his will. It's whatever he wants in our lives. And we're not puppets on a string, folks. We're not. But it's whatever he wants us to do and whatever he wants to accomplish to bring glory to him in whatever it may be. So we see a partnership here. I thought about this verse, Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah said he was going to call upon the Lord. He said and the Lord said, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just like I just said, there's many times I don't understand it. There's things that I knowest not, if you want to use the language of the Bible there. But yet, he will show them to us.
Yes,
he will show them to us according to his will. There are some things we'll never know until we get to the other side. And it's been said many times as well, and I agree with it. We're probably not even going to think about it then. We're probably not going to think about it. You know, that's our minds here today thinking, I want to ask this and I want to ask this and I want to ask, well, I want to know why God brought me through that. When I get to heaven, I want to know. But you know what? I think, folks, when we get that new body, and that new mind,
yeah,
it's just going to be straightforward. We're not going to look behind anymore because again, I can't explain it. There's many men that have stood up here and said that you can't explain it. There must be some memory, but is there memory? But I think the thing is, when you get the new heart and the new mind, a new body, that we're going to be focused on the one who gave it to us. We try to stay focused on him here now, but we're still in this old body. And this old body don't like to stay focused. It gets all out of whack, gets all out of shape, gets bent out of shape, everything. But yet, with the new mind, the new heart, and the new body, I think we'll just be focused on him. And you know what? There's going to be plenty of folks that went on before us that we're going to have eternity to fellowship with, and we're all going to be serving the Savior. And we'll be of one heart and one mind, plowing forward from there on. There's a partnership in the call, and then in verse 9 of chapter 20, there is the petition in the call. And David just kind of sums it up here. This is the asking part of it. He says, "Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." David just summarizes all this, his call for help in times of trouble, right here in this last verse. As he says the different things he says in between there, and he goes back at the end and just ends his prayer with, "Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." He's not talking about the king. David was the king. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we looked here at those things, and I gotta look back at my note. We looked at the call for help in times of trouble, and then the second part we can get started on here, we got a little bit of time, is the confidence in the Lord found in verses 5 through 8. Confidence in the Lord. Let's read those verses again. It says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We are brought down, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." There's a lot in these verses as well. We just kind of get started here. The call that we just spoke of was the prayer, but the confidence that we see here is the praise. The confidence that David has here is the praise for God. In verse 5, the first thing we see here is the conduct in the confidence. The conduct that David has here in verse 5 says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation." His conduct is not conduct of the world. He's not acting worldly. He's not going off the deep end here on something. He's not, being something he shouldn't. His conduct is very, very well spoken of here. He says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." His conduct here, where he says, "We will rejoice." When troubled times come, we need to have confidence in the Lord that we will rejoice. And we should rejoice through those troubled times as well. I know it's hard from times. It's very hard at times to rejoice when you're going through troubled times. But that's what David is saying here, that he's going to rejoice in that. And I think if David can do that, then it's a good example for us to do that as well. His prayer, we find here that his prayer that he's been praying, all of a sudden it turns into praise. And that's many times I've had a prayer. I try to have prayer life, a prayer time. I pray every morning and at other times as well, but especially in the morning. I've expressed this to y'all before. That's kind of my quiet time and the time where I can focus on the Word of God and what God has for me. But a time I started out with a time of prayer, and sometimes it is repetitious. Sometimes it is, and sometimes I find myself saying, I'm asking for the same thing, and I get in a rut. But there's been times where it just turns into rejoicing, preacher. And I scratch all those things that I was going to ask for, because it's just things that they're not bad things, but God already knows them. And I spend some time just rejoicing with Him. Well, it makes a difference in your day when you can just rejoice with Him. David said here, "We will rejoice in thy salvation." It's certainly something to rejoice in. His prayer turns to praise. Our faith determines our conduct. Think about that. Our faith determines our conduct.
Yes, sir. Always.
The faith that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ should determine our conduct. Mm-hmm. I remember those words many times of my father, where he would say, and I've spewed out some of these things before, but they come to mind when I'm up here many times. I think about what you're saying. Did you think about what you said? Think about what you say, boy, before you say it. Before you open your mouth, think about what you're going to say. My actions, my conduct, what is going to come out. Think about it. Spend some time about it. Our faith will determine our conduct and how we act and the things we say. Our faith should determine our conduct. If we believe in something, it will affect our conduct. I believe every one of you here this morning believe in something and someone, or you wouldn't be here. This isn't the most popular place to be at in town, trust me. It's not. There's some more hip places to be, I'm sure, but I don't want to be there, and you don't want to be there either. You want to be in the house of God, and your conduct, your faith determines your conduct, and your conduct gets you here to the house of God where you can hear from the Word of God. We believe in it. If you believe in something, it will affect your conduct. And we'll stop right there. We're only about halfway through that point, conduct in the confidence. Got a few more things about that to say, and then quite a few more things to say when it comes to the rest of these verses. There's a lot more there, and we'll get into that next Sunday, Lord willing. We're going to pray, and is Justin still under the weather?
He may be here today.
Okay. I thought we've been praying for Justin, and I don't think anything was mentioned here, but pray for Justin. Justin has had a fever so that he has not been able to work. I think that's maybe more on the employment side of it. They don't want him to come in because Justin is a worker. He would be there, even with a fever, I'm sure. But you haven't seen him this week, and he's not laying out. I've been in contact with him, been praying for him, and he said he has just really been down. We know what that can do for us. So let's pray for Justin, and we'll pray for Pastor Covens as he comes in the next hour. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time we've had around your word. And the blessing it is, Lord, that David sought you in times of trouble, and we can as well. Lord, I thank you for that, Lord. And speaking of that, I think of Justin and what he's going through health-wise, Lord, his need. And also Jason and the family there, especially Jason being sick. Just pray that you bless these men. Lord, touch them. Give their bodies healing and strength, and help them to be where they want to be, Lord. I know their heart's desire is that they'll be here. Lord, I pray that you give them healing. Be it Pastor Coben says he comes now in the next hour. Lord, give him the words to say. And I just pray that you'll speak to hearts according to your will. And be with Pastor Wilson where he's at, Lord. Bless the service in the hour to come there as well. In Jesus' name.